Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. You can find it on page 1597 on the Pew Bibles if you so desire. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been hard at work all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James, John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Thank you, Dennis.
So the passage today is titled, "Jesus Calls His First Disciples." And that's sort of confusing if you don't know all of the story. Because Jesus knew Simon actually before he called him. Now, not everybody knows that. But if you've read all of the Gospels and you've read John specifically, you would know that by the time this encounter happens on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Luke calls it something else, but it's the Sea of Galilee, and it's near Capernaum, where most of the disciples, well, at least half of them that we know of, came from the general area of Galilee. Jesus had met Simon before. Simon's brother Andrew followed John the Baptist, if we pay attention to what the Gospel of John says. And Andrew, when John the Baptist said, "It's time for me to decrease so that he, Jesus, can increase," Andrew went, "Oh, okay, I'll follow him." So Andrew follows Jesus to where he's staying. He talks to Jesus. He finds out that Jesus is the guy that John's been talking about, the one that's going to take away the sins of the world. So he says, he runs home and says, "Simon, you got to come with me. You got to meet the guy. Come on." And Simon goes and meets Jesus with his brother Andrew. And if we continue in the Gospel of John for a moment, we see that the next day, Jesus actually calls two more disciples. Nathanael is one, and the other one is Philip. So he's starting to get a core of disciples around him even before this event on the Sea of Galilee happens. And if you go back in Luke, just one chapter, you'll see that Jesus actually stayed at Simon's house. And he healed Simon's mother-in-law. And the scripture says that once he rebuked the fever, she got up and served them, which means that they broke bread together. And if you know anything about ancient Israel, breaking bread together was a sign of a covenant. It was a time of getting to know each other. It was a very important moment in a relationship. So by the time this happens on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus and Simon already have a relationship. Now, we don't know by Scripture if it was a deep relationship, like they'd already gone out and done a bunch of stuff together, or if it was just a, "Hey, I know you" kind of relationship. But this is why that when Jesus says, get in the boat, Simon's not calling the Sea of Galilee police because there's some stranger in his boat. Imagine that. Somebody walks up to your car and just gets in. You don't know him, right? No, Jesus knew who Simon was. They at least had broken bread together. He'd stayed at Simon's house. This is why Simon didn't just freak out. So what does the scripture say? If you don't have your Bible open, please open it back up to 1597 and 98, because I want you to see a couple things as we work through this scripture. So I'll wait for you to get there. And while I'm talking, waiting for you to get there, just remember that there is an annual meeting coming up, that there is going to be brunch, and you got to come for food, right? Sign up in the narthex, or sign up in the fellowship hall. Did I kill enough time? You guys, where were we supposed to be? Okay. All right, so Jesus says, get in the boat. And he says, what? Push out a little way from shore. Isn't this sort of like how our relationships with Jesus work? I mean, wherever you are on the relationship scale with Jesus, you might have been a friend of Jesus for 80 years. Some of you in here potentially have been friends with him for longer than that. Some of you may be fresh in your relationship with Jesus. Some of you may not have a relationship with Jesus yet, and you're seeking. And if that's the case, come see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you about it. But wherever you are on the relationship scale with Jesus, this is how Jesus does things. He says, let's go do something simple. Let's push out just a little bit from shore, right? Maybe in your life that means that still voice in the back of your head says, hey, give that guy in the corner a couple bucks so they can get some food. Or maybe it's something easy like, I'm going to join the prayer team because I can do it from my phone, from my computer. It's not a big deal. Or I'm going to serve one meal at the homeless shelter. Maybe it's some simple thing like that, just a little bit away from shore. And then what happens in the story? Jesus ups the ante. He says, hey, Simon, let's push out into deep waters and drop your nets. You get a little bit of Simon's reaction in Scripture, but I can envision in his head what he's thinking. He's like, wait a second. I'm the fisherman here. You're not. I've been doing this my whole life. You haven't. I know I've been working all night. I don't want to go out into deep waters and drop my nets because you saw at the beginning I was on the shore cleaning my nets. This is probably what's going on through his head, right? I don't want to do it, Jesus. This is inconvenient. This is almost ludicrous because you're not a fisherman. I know my business. How often have we looked at Jesus and said, no, Lord, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to do what you're saying because I know all the answers. It's my profession. Right? But what does, and turn to the book with me on this. What does Simon say? He says, Master. Master. He doesn't just say teacher or rabbi. Master in this instance, in this context, means somebody that's worthy to be followed. So he recognizes that Jesus is somebody worthy to be followed. So he says, Master, I've been working all night. This is really inconvenient. But because you say so. Now, if you're at a place in your relationship with Christ where you call him Master and you mean it, then there are times that you do things that don't make sense because he said so. When you go, I'm way too busy to do this, but Lord, because you said so, I'm going to do it. Sometimes these deep waters are something like, I don't know, giving more than you're capable of giving to a charity that you know, supports something like, you know, ending human trafficking, for example. You give more than you really can because it's inconvenient, but because you're prompted by Jesus to do so, and because of your relationship with Jesus, you do this, you go ahead and you put out to deep water. Now, there is a deep water for all of us. There's a time in our lives where we're going to hit deep water and we're going to go, I don't want to. And I'm going to cover one of those deep water things that impacts almost everyone sitting here today a little bit later. So I want you to pay attention to when we get back to deep water, because it's going to apply. What happens once they go to deep water? What happens? What's Peter's reaction when he drops the nets and they bring in the biggest haul of fish they've ever seen on the Sea of Galilee? And it's this huge haul. It's like, who's ever watched a movie with a bunch of con artists and they say, just one more job? Right? Just one more big score. And when we get that big score, we're going to quit, right? This is like the big score to fishermen. It's taking two boats and four people, and the boats are sinking. This is a huge score. This is probably enough fish for the fishermen that are bringing them in to live on for like a year when they sell them. They'll have enough money that they don't have to worry about things. There was a payoff for Simon when he listened to Jesus. Now, what I'm telling you now is that not every time when you listen to Jesus is there going to be a payoff of a huge score. It's not always monetary. It's not always even relational. It may not even be while you're here on the planet, because we're told to store up treasures where? In heaven. So there is a payoff. The payoff may be when you're standing in front of Christ, he says, well done. But there is a payoff when we decide to go into deep waters with Christ. But what is Simon's reaction? His word is, Lord, go away from me. His addressing of Jesus goes from master, someone worthy to be followed, to Lord, someone with power and strength. He recognizes Jesus' power and strength. He says, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinner. And this is a two-sided coin for Simon. One, he doesn't want to taint Jesus with his sin. And two, he recognizes Jesus' power and he doesn't want to be punished for his sins. Well, where's that coming from? Where's the punishment coming from? This, right here, these two words. Retribution theology. Retribution theology is the concept that we see in Job, where Job's friends are saying, what sin did you do to get cursed so bad? It's the idea that there is goodness coming for you. If you're good, you're going to be blessed. If you're bad, you're going to be cursed. And this is all set up in the book of Deuteronomy, where Yahweh sets up a contract with the people of Israel and says, look, if you do these things, if you follow me, I will bless you. If you worship other gods, if you don't follow me, I'm going to curse you. And the list of curses in the book of Deuteronomy is, it's an arm's length of curses. There's just curses all over the place in Deuteronomy at the end that says, if you don't do this, you're going to, it's as bad as eating your own babies. Because I'm going to curse you to the point where you are going to be wanting to just die. It's this bad versus good. It's this evil versus good. It's this us versus them. It's the Jews versus the Gentiles. It's very binary. It's a very binary theology. And this is what is going through Simon's head when he says, get away from me, Lord. Because this is what he was steeped in. This is what he was trained in. This is what the whole area believed when Jesus stepped on the scene. For 1,500 years, it's been a religion of rules and regulations and laws, and do this to get blessed. Don't do this or you're going to be cursed. Very binary. But that all changes when Jesus says the words that we read here, "Do not be afraid." In that moment, he changed the entire trajectory. That's not an easy word to say when your mouth is dry. Of the entire course of religion. He took it from this binary, black and white, us versus them, tribal kind of religion to one that's more global, and it's formed with grace. So he went and took this very horizontal, binary religion and went, boom. And he upped the ante. He said, no longer are we going to look at this retribution theology. Jesus says, I'm going to point you towards a theology that's more grace-based, more love-based, because this is what the trajectory should be. And Jesus didn't let it stop there. Paul carried it on. When Paul said, hey, there's no more Jews and Greeks. There's no more men, male or females. There's no more slave nor free. We are now global. We're no longer tribal. We're global. Everybody's included in this. Everybody's included in this. In this love and grace. Paul kept the arrow going up. And it's up to us individually. We have a responsibility to keep the arrow going up. We're a much different culture, a much different society than we were 2,000 years ago. Look around. We have different generations. We have different races. We have different languages, different cultures, different sexual identities, different preferences, different genders that are all represented here. And we're supposed to continue this grace, love, and now forgiveness to all, no matter who it is. And this is the deep water that we all struggle with sometimes, because it's not always comfortable to interact with and do things with the other. Right? They're not me, they're other. They're not like us, they're other. And we're not allowed to make that kind of judgment call anymore. If we're going to continue our personal trajectory on this path of grace and love, on this path of forgiveness, on this path of not seeing the differences, I'm not saying the differences aren't important and they don't go away, it's just they don't matter to God. And they shouldn't matter to us. But we've all come across that time in our lives where we've seen God telling us to do something. And we've said, we're not worthy. We're not good enough. I'm a sinner. We saw it in Isaiah's response last week when Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. This kind of theology, that retribution theology, still exists today. In many people's minds, it's do it my way or hit the highway. There's a lot of I'm right, you're wrong. There's a lot of binary thought out there still on what Scripture actually says. And sometimes we have to just have grace for the people around us. Have you ever thought of yourself as not good enough, not worthy enough? Some of you in this room probably have. I'm going to tell you right now, that is a lie. It's a lie perpetuated by the father of lies to make you feel like you're not good enough to serve this Jesus. That you're not good enough to reach out and be a help to somebody in need. It's a lie perpetuated by society saying you're not good enough. There's a lyric I want to share with you from a song called Christ Cuts Through. It goes like this. When I look in the mirror, what do I see? A plank-eyed judger staring back at me saying, hey, you're never going to be good enough. Give in to temptation. Just give up. But then the chorus comes in and says, when the depths are deeper than they've ever been, when you're in the deep waters, remember? When the depths are deeper than they've ever been, a prayer breaks over me, and that is when Christ cuts through all the lies and the deception with His truth and resurrection. He makes me new. Christ cuts through. Our relationship with Christ, our deep relationship with Christ, our ever deepening relationship with Christ is what will cut through the lies and the deception that is in this world telling you you're not good enough, that you're a sinner. Get away from me, Jesus. I'm a sinner. That's retribution theology. I'm not good enough. I need to be punished. When Jesus says, no, don't be afraid. I'm not going to hold these sins against you because I am about grace. I am about love. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And Jesus didn't stop with Simon, who he ended up naming Peter the Rock. He invited Matthew, a tax collector, a hated individual, and said, I want you to follow me, because my grace and my love is enough to cover you. Even more crazy than me, he invited Judas Iscariot, who he knew was going to turn on him, betray him. And yet Jesus invited him into the crowd because his grace and his love was enough to even cover that. And it's our responsibility to keep that trajectory of grace and love going in our lives. With every interaction that we have, with every person that's part of humanity. I don't care if they worship at the mosque. I don't care if they worship at the Hindu temple down the street. I don't care if they're worshiping on the golf course because they're an atheist. They're all children of God. Jesus died for every one of them. Who are we to not show them the grace and the love that Jesus has already shown? Keep that trajectory like this. Amen.